talks about being approved by God. Paul is telling Timothy, make sure that God approves of your life. Now, generally speaking, most Christians are taken up with being blessed by God. So, we can say there are two types of messages being preached in Christendom today. There are some, or there are many actually, who are preaching how you can be blessed by God. And there are very few people who are approved by God. These are basically two different messages. And why is it most people are preaching how you can be blessed by God? Because that's what most people want to hear. You know, Paul said to Timothy later on in chapter 4, he says, I solemnly charge you to preach God's word. Because he says a time will come in verse 3 when they will not want to hear what is good for them. But they'll have ears tickled, they want teachers who will just teach them according to their own desires. Verse 3. So I told you there are two types of messages preached by two types of preachers. There are some preachers who will preach to you what you like to hear. And there are others who will tell you what you need to hear. And there's a lot of difference between the two. What we like to hear is how God will bless us, how He can help us, and how He can solve our problems. And we're all usually material things. We're all material things God can give us. What all blessings He can give my body, heal me, comfortable life, give me exciting experiences in my body. And since everybody in the world loves money, how God can give me money too? Now that's not what people need to hear, but that's what they love to hear. And since most preachers have an understanding of human psychology, they discovered that that is a better message to preach. Because that way they can get more money from people. Paul said that time will come when people will want to listen to such teachers who tell them what they want to hear. But that's like a doctor who doesn't tell you the truth about yourself. Supposing you've got some serious sicknesses in your body. And the doctor examines you and he says, well, I don't want to frighten him. I don't want to unnecessarily get him all worried, so I won't tell him anything. So, let's just tell him some nice things and say everything's okay with you. And just collects his fees and sends you home. And you're very happy with such a doctor.
అక్కడ డాక్టర్ నాకు వచ్చింది వాళ్ళ సంతోషం
రావడం.
He
loves you so much that he wants to tell you the truth.
He doesn't
want to just collect his keys and send you home happy when you're
sick.
And so he uses all his equipment and examines you and tells you a number of things wrong with your life. And he loves you so much that he doesn't even charge you for his examination. But he tells you the truth. But you don't like to hear it because it's so many things wrong in your life. And so, if you prefer to go to that first doctor who tells you nice things, don't you think you're a fool? We never do that when it comes to our physical bodies. We want to go to a doctor who tells us exactly what's wrong with us. Why don't Christians do that when it concerns their soul? Why don't they go to those who will tell them exactly what's wrong with their soul? As I have observed Christians through many years, it's amazing. If they want to listen to people who do not tell them the truth about themselves. And what is the result? When Christians only hear how God can bless them, and as it were, God allows them to live as they like, the result is their Christian life is very shallow. They have problems in their life that never get solved. They are not strong spiritually. The devil can just give them a little touch and they fall down. What do I mean by the devil giving you a little touch and falling down? A small trial comes into your life, you begin to complain. It's not a big trial.
It's
a very small one.
But
you complain and you grumble and the devil's knocked you down. Any believer who grumbles or complains, we can say the devil has knocked him down. No, that is the proof that the devil has knocked him down. How do I know the devil's knocked me down? I grumble. I complain. Maybe about the food. Maybe about the weather. Maybe about my boss. Maybe about my salary. Maybe about my health. Maybe about my wife.
My
husband. Or my neighbor. Or some brother. When I complain, I'm demonstrating that the devil's knocked me down. Jesus never complained about anything.
The
devil could never knock him down. I want to ask you, is the devil able to knock you down? Why is it after so many years of being a Christian, the devil can just touch you and you are knocked down flat? You think that's the will of God for your life? No, that's not God's will. I'll tell you the reason why it's like that even after so many years. It's because you've spent your life listening to messages and preachers who told you what you liked. They've taken your money. You're happy. They are happy. But your problem is not solved. God doesn't want you to be like that. Would you like to hear the truth? You get it free. You want me charged for it like the other preachers
do.
Listen to God's word. Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 14, do everything without grumbling or complaining. Because that is the way that you prove that you are children of God in the midst of a crooked world, and that's how you shine as lights in the world. You know, Jesus said that you are the light of the world. And here it tells us one way in which you are going to shine as lights in the world. Many aspects to this, but here is one. One way in which I prove that I am not part of the darkness of this world. Is by never complaining. Never grumbling about anything. That's a strong Christian. That will try hard to push it down. God push it down. He sends a massive trial into his life. God push him down. That's the type of Christian God wants you and me to be. That's the type of Christian, a person becomes when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now today there are a lot of people who talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the mark that Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will have power. How do I know I have power? How do I know I'm strong? Somebody tries hard to push me down and I don't fall down. The mark of a spiritual Christian. He's got power. When the devil sends a trial into his life, he doesn't fall down and grumble and get anxious and worried. How does he come to such strength in his life? Because he sought not just for God's blessing, he sought for God's approval. Now all of you, if you look at your past life, past years. And look back over the time of your life since you were born again. Now, before we were born again, of course, we didn't have life and we did a lot of stupid things in our unconverted days.
So,
let's forget about that. Because we were all blind and ignorant. Now, after we became children of God, after we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we were born again, look back over your life from that day onwards and ask yourself, because only you can answer this question correctly, have I sought for God to bless me? Or have I sought for God to approve of my life? Have I spent these years just getting more and more blessing from God? Or have I sought to please Him? You know, we are all basically self-centered. When we are born into the world, we think only of ourselves.
ലോകത്തിലേക്ക് ജനിച്ചപ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ നമ്മളെ കുറിച്ച് മാത്രമാണ് ചിന്തിച്ചത്.
You see your children.
നമ്മുടെ കുഞ്ഞുങ്ങളെ നോക്കുക.
You have to teach them to be concerned about others.
നിങ്ങളുടെ മറ്റുള്ളവരെ കുറിച്ച് കരുതുന്നത് അവരെ അഭ്യസിപ്പിക്കേണ്ട കാര്യമില്ല.
They don't automatically think about others. We were also like that when we were children.
നമ്മുടെ കുട്ടികളായപ്പോൾ അങ്ങനെ തന്നെയായിരുന്നു.
Every baby born into the world, whatever religion he may be, whether they are Christian children or spiritual Christian children or atheist children, are all self-centered. From childhood, they seek their own. And when they are playing with toys, they want the best toys for themselves. And they will fight. Get something for themselves. Every child, those who are baptized as infants, they also behave the same way. It's a great deception to think that just because you sprinkle some water on a child, you suddenly become different. Does that baptized child behave in any way different from that atheist child who is not baptized? Even in their own home, they fight and they quarrel with their brothers and sisters. I'm not blaming them. I'm saying you and I were also like that when we were children. I'm just trying to say that we are all so self-centered, we think only of ourselves
first.
At the dinner table, the children think about themselves. When they are playing, they think about themselves.
They
grow up, we have to teach them. No, no, share your toys with somebody. Teach our children, don't grab as soon as you go to the dining
table.
Right. And so they don't do it, but they haven't changed inside. Nothing has changed inside, but outwardly we teach them to be considerate for others.
And
then we grow up. And we grow up, and we've all grown up now. And what are we seeking? Our home. The whole world seeks their home. You ask yourself, why did you come to Bahrain? Did you come seeking the glory of God, or did you come seeking for yourself something? You've got to be honest if you want God to help. I want to prove to you that the vast majority of Christians seek their home. You don't have to pay for this diagnosis, it's free.
If
you face up to it, then God can
see.
The good news is not just that this is your sickness. The good news is face up to your sickness and the Lord can heal you from your sickness.
See,
a doctor who only tells you how you're sick is not really going to help you. He must also be able to tell you that you can be free from it. What is our basic sickness? That we seek our own. And when we become Christians, if we hear a message that God will also help us in so many ways, we say that's wonderful. Men will help me, I'm so happy.
ಮನುಷ್ಯನಿಗೆ ಸಹಾಯ ಕೊಡಲಿಲ್ಲ
God will also help me to seek my own gain in some way. I am so happy. And so around the world today there are Christians who are coming to God not to become better people but so that God can bless them and give them financial profit and bless their business and heal their bodies and give them their own gain in a thousand and one ways. They're doing business with God. Lord, I'll come to two meetings every week. I'll read my Bible 15 minutes every day. I'll give a little bit of money to your work now and then. And you please bless me. Bless my family. That's my business. Get me my visa sometime. Bless me with good salary and increments. And Lord, I'll be quite happy. I just want to say this is not Christianity. You know, in the first two or three centuries, they didn't go to God and say, Lord, give me a better salary, give me a better job. They said, Lord, when they are going to threaten to throw us into the fire, give us boldness to witness for Jesus Christ, even if we are hurt. And they throw us to the lions because we are Christians. Help us to sing your praise. And even if we are eaten up by the lions. What a difference between those Christians and today's Christians. What a difference between the prayers those Christians used to pray when they were being thrown to the lions and the prayers that today's Christians are praying. Those who are strong people. Today we have a bunch of weaklings. Who are just endlessly seeking for God's blessing. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. In the few more years that you have left before you leave this world, change your view of the Christian life. Say, Lord, from now on, I will not seek your blessing, but I will seek your approval. I'm going to, just like I wholeheartedly sought your blessing, I'm going to wholeheartedly seek your approval over my life.
And
if you do that, you'll find that the Holy Spirit lifts you up into an altogether different level of the Christian life than you've ever experienced so far. You will know God personally. You will know Jesus Christ as a personal friend. You will not fear anything that the devil can do to you. You live in the world as a bold Christian. Not one who is still seeking your own. You know, many people think because God answers their prayer, blesses them in many ways, God must be very happy with them. To many people, the only proof that God is happy with them is that He blesses them. When God blesses you, what does it prove? Particularly with material things. When God blesses you with health, and God blesses you with money, and God blesses you with many good house and many material things, what does it prove?
പണം തരുമ്പോൾ നല്ല ഭവനം തരുമ്പോൾ ഇതുകൊണ്ടൊക്കെ നീ എന്താണ്
അർത്ഥമാക്കുന്നത്? Do you think that proves that God is happy with you?
Is it because of you? Nindhe anigrahikkunna devam ninde jeevanam kondu santoshanaanu?
And look at the number of people in the world to whom he has given such a lot of money.
Nadu logathilulla mattu dharavanmaraayittulla ningal nokkum.
People of all religions.
Mattu madam bhagamulla ella
atheists
nokkuka, nirishravaadigala nokkuka,
corporate businessmen.
Vakkulla vyavaarigala nokkuka.
How much money God has given them?
Hindu maanam dharamaan devan nadhi.
What is it proving?
Adandar thalaiyum.
What about long life? People think if I live up to the age of 90, God must be very happy.
Dil paathne kuch bandar kore the. Yena bolte thi ki meri dil paathne kuch devan naar kam kuch sabhi pranam.
Jesus said only up to 33.
Yes, Jesus mukto tu mera vai swadar vai kiyo.
The apostle Paul never saw the 70th year of his life. He died when he was 67 or something. But there are heathen people today who live up to 100 and 95 and 100. God bless
you.
What is it proof?
When
God gives large villas and houses to people, what is it proof? It doesn't prove that God is happy with all these
people. ഇവൻ വരാനല്ല സന്തുഷ്ടാണെന്ന് ചിന്തിക്കുന്നു.
Why should it prove that God is happy with you and your
friends? ഇവൻ നിന്നെ സന്തുഷ്ടാണെന്ന് കാണിയാൽ
things only prove one thing.
ഇതൊക്കെ ഒരു കാര്യം മാത്രം പറയുന്നു.
God is a good God.
ഇവൻ നല്ലൊരു ദൈവമാണ്.
And he makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil.
ഇവൻ മാത്രമേ നീതിയുള്ളവരുടെ മേലും സൂര്യനെ ഉദിപ്പിക്കുന്നു.
So if you want the sun to rise upon you and bless your life, what should you be?
And if you were to do the key in any way, you should be
either good or evil.
You can be the one I don't know if you can tell that.
Do you qualify? Yeah, sure. Everybody in the world is good or evil.
You said, no, the guy who was in the one I don't know if you can tell
that. What is it prove if the sun rises on you? Jesus said in Matthew 5, God makes the rain to fall on the righteous person and the unrighteous. That righteous, God-fearing farmer who prays, he gets the rain on his field. That godless farmer who doesn't care for God, doesn't care for any man, who's crooked and cheats people, the rain falls on his field also.
The rain falls on his field also. Isn't that true?
What does material blessing prove? What does plenty of oil wealth prove? God is best
country.
God is very happy with the people there. Use your head. Think about it. Don't ever fool yourself to think that material wealth and blessing and health are marks of God's
grace.
These things God gives to everyone. Good people, evil people. And if you look at a man and see his money, you can't say whether he's good or evil. There are evil people living in palaces. And there are evil people living in the slums. And there are good people who live in big homes, and there are good people who live in small huts. There are good people who die when they are 35, and bad people who die when they are
35.
There are good people's children die when they are 1 year old, and bad people's children die when they are 1 year old. And there are good people who live up to the age of 90 and bad people who live up to the age of
90.
How do you make out who is blessed and who is not blessed?
എങ്ങനെയാണ് ആരാണ് അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ടവരാണ്
അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ടവരാണ്. We have got so many wrong ideas in our life about God's blessing. What is the real mark of God's blessing? Our spiritual blessing. God in our life. He becomes humbler. His thought life becomes purer. He becomes free from being attached to material things. He becomes generous. Kind. Merciful. Can forgive
people.
Good. To those who hate him.
അവനെ വെറുക്കുന്നവരോട് അവൻ
love his enemies. And he spends his life, even though he may do a secular work, his mind is set on heavenly things.
ഭൗതികമായ ജോലി ഏർപ്പെട്ടിരിക്കുകയാണെങ്കിലും അവന്റെ മനസ്സ്
And
സ്വർഗത്തിൽ.
He wants to spend his earthly life in a way that will be useful to God.
അവന്റെ ലോകത്തവരായിരുന്ന ജീവിതം ദൈവത്തിന് പ്രയോജനമുള്ളതായിട്ട് അവൻ ജീവിക്കാൻ ശ്രമിക്കും.
God is doing that in your life, then you can say God is blessed.
ആ പ്രവൃത്തി ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ചെയ്തുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കുന്നെങ്കിൽ നമുക്ക് പറയാം ദൈവത്താൽ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ടിരിക്കുന്നു.
All the other things in the world which we have are not necessarily an indication of God's blessing, because God gives that to some of the other people also.
ലോകത്തിലുള്ള മറ്റു കാര്യങ്ങളൊക്കെ ഉണ്ടെങ്കിലും അത് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ അനുഗ്രഹത്തിന് തെളിവല്ല, കാരണം അത് ദൈവം ലോകത്തിലുള്ള മറ്റുള്ളവർക്ക് നൽകിയിരിക്കുന്നു.
You know, the Bible says that all the material things we have in the world don't really belong to us. They, God has given them to us as a loan, temporary loan. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 7, 1 Timothy 6 and verse
7,
we brought nothing into this world.
ഇഹലോകത്തിലേക്ക് നാം ഒന്നും കൊണ്ടുവന്നിട്ടില്ല.
Therefore, we cannot take anything out.
അതുകൊണ്ട് ഇവിടെ നിന്നും യാതൊന്നും കൊണ്ടുപോകാൻ കഴിയുന്നില്ല.
There's a reason why, when you die, God does not allow you to take any of your money with you.
എന്തുകൊണ്ടാണ് മരിക്കുമ്പോൾ എന്റെ കൈ വശമുള്ള ധനം ഒന്നും നീ എടുത്തുകൊണ്ടുപോകാൻ ദൈവം അനുവദിക്കാത്തത്?
You say this money is mine.
നിങ്ങൾ പറയും ഈ ധനം എന്റെയാണ്.
I earned it.
ഞാൻ സമ്പാദിച്ചതാണ്.
Then why does God not allow you to take it out when you leave this world?
ഈ ലോകം വിട്ടു പോകുമ്പോൾ എന്തുകൊണ്ടാണ് എടുത്തുകൊണ്ട് വന്നു എന്ന് ഞാൻ ചോദിക്കാം.
See, for example, if you've spent many years in Bari earning a lot of dinars, let's say you earned 100,000 dinars in many years of work here. When you leave the country, the government will say, please take it, it's yours. But when you leave this world, why doesn't God allow you to take it with you? Why does God say, no, keep that here? You know the reason? Given in this world. When you came to this world, you had nothing. Therefore, when you leave the world, you've got to go out with
them.
That means all the money and property and houses and everything God gave us here was only just for a short time. Like a loan. If I were to use an illustration, you take your little 3-year-old child to somebody's house. And the people there in the house are very nice, and they allow you, your child, to play with all their little toy cars and so many little things. And then the child comes to leave the home and go back. And you know how children are. They take some of those small cars and put them in their pockets. So when you come to the door, like a good mommy, you examine the pockets of your child. And you take out all those little cards. And say, son, when we came to this house, we did not bring anything. So when we go also, we have to not take it. If you came to this house with some cars in your pocket, those you can take. But you came with nothing in your pocket. These people are kind enough to let you play with these things for all these hours. Now when you go, you have to empty your pocket and go. That's exactly what God says. Son, when you came to this world, you came with nothing. When you were here, I allowed you to play with so many things, dinars and rupees and so many things, I allowed you to play with. Now the time has come to go. Please empty your pocket. Get into your coffin and go. That's what God said. And it's right. So, what should we live for then? Does God allow us to take something out of this world? He doesn't allow us to take our house, He doesn't allow us to take our degrees and certificates and money. We can't take any of these things. But there's one thing He allows you to take. The character that you have acquired on this earth, God says, that's yours. You can take it with you. If during your earthly lifetime you become pure,
humble,
unselfish,
and
good, and kind, and merciful, because you follow Jesus, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life,
and
you come to a life where you don't grumble and you don't complain. You
go
to a spirit of thankfulness and praise. The Lord says, that's yours. That's yours for a journey. Take it with you. Yeah, that's the wonderful message. That there's one thing that God allows me to take out of this world. That's our character. The measure in which the Holy Spirit has been able to change you and me into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's ours, permanent. All the other things we have to leave behind. So, what's the use just looking for material
blessings?
You're a fool. If you're working for things which you finally have to leave behind, you're a fool. You might as well work for the things which will be yours forever. That's how the devil makes fools of a lot of sweet believers. Does it mean that we don't need money? No, we certainly do. Even Jesus used money when he was on earth. But he didn't live for that. There's a lot of difference between living for money and using money. When Jesus came to earth, He did not come seeking anything for Himself. I told you that every child born into the world, you, me, and our children, and everybody else's children, are all born into the world seeking their own. And they, you see that as soon as they are born and they grow up, they are fighting for themselves. But Jesus did not seek His own. If He sought His own, He would have lived in heaven. He need not have come here at all. He did not seek his own in anything. He sought to please his father. He sought to do what would be good for other people. You remember that time when he was very hungry? And his disciples went in Samaria to go to the market to buy some food. You read that in John chapter 4. And while they had gone for food, there was a wicked, evil woman, a sinful woman, who needed salvation. Who was there? And Jesus spent so much time talking to her and leading her to salvation. And she was saved. And Jesus lost all his hunger. The disciples came back with food and he said, I'm not hungry anymore. Have you ever had such an experience? Have you had an experience like that even once in your life? I've had it a number of times. Have you had an experience where you're hungry and weak and tired? And you seek to help somebody spiritually. You seek to bless them. Lead them to God. At the end of it, you're not hungry. You're not tired. You're not sick. That's how God has called us to live. Jesus never sought his own. He never sought his own, Jesus. He always sought what would glorify God and be good for other people. When he was going to the cross, one of his disciples tried to protect him with a sword. Jesus said, don't put your sword back. Don't fight for me. What is your one sword? If I speak one word, 72,000 angels are there just waiting to come and help. If I call them down, then how will I die for the sins of the world? So he didn't ask for help. Because he was seeking the good of others. What will be good for others? The angels come and help me and take me up to heaven from Gethsemane. And people, others will die in their sin and go to hell. That's not good for us. If I won't call the angels, let me suffer. Let me die. So that others can be blessed. So that God can be glorified. I'm just trying to show you that that's the nature of Jesus Christ. And he came to give us that same nature. To take away this selfish, self-centered nature that seeks our own interests. And that gives us another nature that seeks what is glorifying to God and what's good for other people. And the measure in which the Holy Spirit has been able to do that in your life, that is the test of how much God has really blessed you. But if you've been a Christian 15, 20 years, and you're still seeking your own, you're still interested in material blessing, you still want to go and listen to preachers and read books that teach you how you can be healed and how you can be prosperous, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're still a baby. You haven't grown up. You're not strong. You haven't become like Jesus. And years are slipping by and you're wasting your life. You better buck up. take things seriously. And say, Lord, in the years that are left to me, let me really make use of my life on this earth. I have spent enough years seeking your blessing. From now on, let me seek your approval. See, you can listen to this just like a message and have an opinion on whether it's right or wrong. Or you can take it as a word from the Holy Spirit straight to your heart. Something that can change the direction of your life, change your
mind.
This is the thing that will make you rich in eternity. You know, just like many people who are struggling in India with great poverty. And then, luckily, they got a job in the
government.
And they worked there for 20 years and they were
rich.
The whole life has changed in one moment. That's the way in the world we run.
Now,
you can have something like that spiritually. What is the mark of a poverty-stricken, poor Christian? Shall I tell you? He only seeks material blessings. He's a poor Christian. And he only seeks experiences from God. I want some new experience. Somebody had an experience. God, he got an electric shock in his body. I want that. Somebody saw a vision. I want to see a vision. These are all babies. These are all poverty-stricken Christians. And then one day they hear a message. That the Holy Spirit can make you like Jesus. But you are no longer seeking your own. When you're seeking the glory of God from now on, you're seeking what's good for other people, not just what's good for yourself. And you respond to that message. And you become rich. Spiritually. That depends on whether you want to become rich spiritually or not. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 we read how the Lord led certain people out of Egypt. You know the story of the Israelites when they were taken out of Egypt. And you also know that years they wandered in the wilderness. That was a punishment. God didn't want them to wander 40 years in the wilderness. That was a punishment. Like we punish our children. God punished them. And said, you are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:5, God was not pleased with them. And it says even stronger words in Hebrews 3 and verse 17. He was angry with them for 40 years. He was angry for 40 years. Okay, how does God treat people he is angry with? Does he answer their prayers? Let me ask you. If God is angry with you, will he answer your prayers? If you are angry with somebody, will you give him what he wants? You won't do it. But God does it. That's the wonderful thing about God. He answers the prayers of people he's angry with.
അവന് കോപമുള്ളവരോടുകൂടി പ്രാർത്ഥനകൾ
നമ്മൾ
വായിക്കുന്നു അവൻ അവരോട് 40 ആണ്ട് കൃഷി ചെയ്തു എന്ന്
they said God we don't have any greed
അവർ പറഞ്ഞു കർത്താവ് ഞാൻ പക്ഷിപ്പാനൊന്നുമില്ല
you and I would say I'm angry with you I won't give you anything
ഞാൻ നിങ്ങളോട് വായിക്കാൻ പറഞ്ഞു എനിക്കിതിനോട് ദേഷ്യമാണ് ഞാൻ നിങ്ങളുടെ തരത്തില്ല അവനുമല്ല അവരവർക്ക് നൽകി
everything
എല്ലാ ദിവസവും പക്ഷിപ്പാനും
Every day he was angry with them, he gave them
food. And they said, we don't have
anything to drink.
He
gave them water also.
Then
one day they said, we want some non-vegetarian food. This stuff is not
good.
And God said, okay, all the birds in that area came to that place and fell down there. When you look at all this, you think, is God angry with these people? He is. But He gives answers to prayer, even to those He is angry
with.
He does miracles. For people whom he is angry.
Avan kovishnayana janathinu vendi avan adbhutangale avade adayalangale cheyunu.
Learn something from that for your life.
Ningalude jeevitha sambandhiche idil ninnu chila karyangal padikkuka.
Just because God answers your prayer proves nothing.
Ente prarthanaykku deivam marupadi nalkunnathu velivakkunnathu deivathinodu sambandhamaanalla.
Just because God does a miracle for you proves nothing.
Ente jeevitha deivan adbhutam adayalam cheyyunnathu velivakkunnathu.
The greatest miracles written in the Bible were the miracles God did in the wilderness for 40 years for 600,000 people. Just imagine, one day if you don't have food, the Lord has no food in the house. You go outside the house and say, Lord, please give me something.
And
straight from heaven, one drops down into your hand.
Why?
You would be just waiting for the next meeting to give your testimony.
And
you'd be traveling all over the world giving your testimony. And if it happened the second day also, and the third
day,
you would think you are one of the greatest men or women of God on the earth. But these people experienced it for 40 years. And they were not great men or women of God. God was angry with the whole lot of them. Do you believe that God does miracles for people He is angry with? I want to prove to you all material blessings and all material miracles prove nothing. It proves nothing about you, but it proves that God is a good God. There are people of every religion who go to their pilgrimage spots. Roman Catholics, Hindus, Muslims, every religion, they go to their pilgrimage spots in different parts of the world and they say, our God healed us. They got some holy water from somewhere and they got healed. I've heard stories from every religion. So don't think that's only what Christians teach. There is one mark of God's blessing upon your life.
It's
none of these material things. It's not answers to prayer. It's not miracles. It's not funds falling into your hands from heaven. It is that the Holy Spirit has been able to make you like Jesus Christ. Has made you a humbler man and a purer man.
loving, unselfish, good person. A kind woman who can control her tongue. With a meek and a quiet spirit. If that has not happened, I'm sorry, you haven't understood spiritual
blessing.
When a man is blessed by God, God fills him with the spirit of praise.
It
says in Hebrews 1:9, God anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. Joy. Gladness. No complaining. No grumbling. I know God has blessed me when there is no more complaining in my lips. When there's a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, not just in the meeting, but 7 days a week. That's the mark of God's blessing. Oil of gladness. Joy. Joy that is perpetual. So let's not fool ourselves by a lot of things we hear in Christendom today. I want to encourage you. Ask yourself honestly. Are you seeking for material blessing from God? Or God's approval? Are you seeking for that spiritual blessing that transforms you into the likeness of Christ? That is the gospel Jesus came with. That your selfish, self-centered nature can be changed. He didn't come with the gospel saying God can give you money and God can give you help. Because there are lots of people in the world today who have not received the gospel, who got plenty of help and plenty of wealth. But they haven't got the nature of Christ. That comes only to those who seek for it.
They
come and say, Lord, I'm not seeking you for material blessing. I'm seeking you for what Jesus came to really do. To forgive my sin and to change my selfish nature.
Into
a loving, good nature. To change my impure thinking into pure. God gives this to those who seek Him. Those who are not happy with material blessings. Who are not happy with health or wealth. But you have a cry in their heart and say, Lord, make me like yourself. Who are eagerly seeking
it.
God gives it to them. He fills them with His Holy Spirit and changes their nature from within. He writes His law upon their hearts and their minds. Do you want this? Do you want to receive this gospel? It's free. If you seek God, open your heart.
Let's
pray. While I have the bow in prayer, I want to encourage you to respond to the word of God that you've heard. Don't be fooled by a false gospel. Say, Lord, I want the real thing. I want the real power of the Holy Spirit that changes my nature. Help me, Lord.
In
Jesus' name.